May we turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 8 and the 28th verse. And then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. It's been 2 weeks since I was with you here in the pulpit, and one Sunday, I was down in East Tennessee, and we took part in the dedication of two brand-new, beautiful Bible Presbyterian church buildings. And two of the very fine young preachers, graduate of our seminary and beloved by us all, are ministering there. And under that leadership, the whole area has been stirred by these questions of maintaining a testimony loyal to the Word of God. Last Sunday, we went to San Francisco and we participated in the great Loyalty to Christ rally with some 1,500 people there, which was called to offset and to protest the Convocation of Religions, or the Festival of Faith, as it was called. And I had a very peculiar sense in my ministry and about my soul last Sunday that I've never had before in all my ministry. There in the city of San Francisco were the leaders of the various religions of the world, seven of them, and they were gathered in a united service at which they had prayer and at which they joined hands in appealing to their various deities to help the United Nations. And it was indeed a very strange sensation. They had the head of the World Buddhist Association there, representing all that Buddhism has and that to which Christians have sent missionaries these many years. They had the chief spokesman for the Mohammedan world, for Islam, and he made his appeal to Allah. They had an official representative from the Hindu world representing Hinduism, which is so dominant in India, in which every cow is a god and every monkey is a god and every leaf on every tree is a god. And then they had the spokesman there for the Roman Catholic Church, for the Jews, for the Greek Orthodox, and for the Protestants. The gentleman who represented the Protestants was the chairman of the Board of Bishops of the Methodist Church, Bishop Taylor, who is a Negro and who is in charge of the Methodist work here in the state of New Jersey. It was the greatest conglomeration and hodgepodge that you ever saw in all your life put together. And that was there in the Cow Palace. They were set for some 16,000 people to come. They didn't have half that many. In fact, one paper said they had 5,000. Well, they had possibly more than that. But from the published pictures, the main floor of the whole thing just had a scattering of people on it. But what was rather significant about it was that the Roman Catholic Archbishop of California presided. 10 years ago, when they had this convocation, the Roman Catholics refused to participate in it. They could not be persuaded to do so, so they were left out. But in the 10 years, there has been a complete change in the Roman Catholic Church toward such activities as these. And it has been Pope John that initiated this change, and then Pope Paul, who has continued it, And we were not surprised, especially in view of what Paul had to say about the pagan religions when he was in India recently. But not only did the Roman Catholics participate, and not only did the Roman Catholic Archbishop preside, but the Pope himself sent a special message to be read on this occasion. And consequently, the headlines and the news and everything centered around the Pope and what he was doing to encourage this marvelous spirit of understanding and cooperation among all the religions of the world as they joined their hands in behalf of the United Nations. Now, can you imagine the strange feeling that a man must have had in my position to go to that town and over in another section on Nob Hill have 1,500 people there just in simple loyalty to Jesus Christ, just the Son of God, just the Savior of the world, the only Savior of the world. And I had the strangest feeling in me as I preached and as I stood there, and as I took part in that service that I have ever had in all my ministry. I never felt like it before. I felt we were very close to God. I felt we were very close to the Bible. I felt we were very close to Jesus Christ. Because I know, and you know, that Jesus Christ is the only Son of the living God. And that there's no other way in which any man can come to God to get any help or blessing aside from the blood of Jesus Christ. And to see all that Jesus had in his commandments to go into all the world and preach the gospel, we shouldn't waste our time anymore taking the gospel to the land where Hinduism is. We shouldn't waste our time anymore taking our young people and sending them into these dark lands where Muhammad's name is honored. We shouldn't waste our strength. We shouldn't waste our energy in sending our young people. Why should we ever worry about a missionary budget for our church anymore? Let's forget it. All the religions are working toward the same thing. They all have the same ideas of cooperation and peace, and they can all join hands in a great platform and pray to the gods, and they will answer. The principal speaker last Sunday afternoon was U Thant, the Secretary General of the United Nations. And the papers featured the fact that before he went over to address their gathering, he was received and he was honored in the one Buddhist temple that they have in San Francisco. And so the Secretary General went to his Buddhist temple, and here was the big picture and the big story of his coming into the one lonely Buddhist temple that they have in San Francisco. And from that temple and his worship there, he went to the platform with the Cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church and with the head of the Methodist churches, the head of the Methodist bishops, and all of them standing there united together in this prayer program for the United Nations. I have never felt such a feeling. I've never had such an experience in all my years. And I was so happy that our dear beloved brother from Africa, Bishop Matthew Adjuoko, who's with us today, was my traveling companion. And when he spoke last Sunday afternoon to that great crowd of 1,500 Bible-believing Christians who came together, they said we were fundamentalists. When he spoke to that crowd and told about Jesus and what Jesus has meant to him and to Africa, and how Muhammad cannot help Africa, and he spoke of this marvelous testimony to Christ, when he finished, that great crowd stood up and gave him a prolonged standing ovation in testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in Africa, there are men who believe as we believe. And it's a strange spectacle that the United Nations has brought into being, that in order to strengthen it and help it now in the day when it's in great perplexity and in financial difficulties, and the United Nations is in greater difficulties today, and it's been unable to fulfill its promises of peace, to see the religions of the world joining hands, and maybe we can add to the United Nations by our spiritual contributions that which the United Nations has been lacking. Now I come back to home and back to you, dear people, and back to this pulpit, and I find this magnificent text, if I be lifted up. When ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. And it is the lifting up of the Son of Man and lifting himself, lifting his honor, lifting his testimony up in such a way that he stands alone. He doesn't stand as one among many. He doesn't stand as the first among equals. He doesn't stand as one who uses the word brethren in describing these other religions which have repudiated the God of Israel. If I be lifted up, and when you lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I'm he. And I've believed in Christ ever since I was a child. I've been preaching him to you people here for almost 32 years. And I've believed in him all my years, and I believe in him today. But I want to tell you, last Sunday afternoon when I stood in San Francisco, and here was a spokesman for Buddha and Mohammed and Confucius and the Roman Catholic chieftain, and here were all these liberals or the Protestants over there. I want to tell you that when we lifted up the Son of Man, the power of God was upon us and in us, and I knew him as I felt I'd never known him before. What a privilege it is to lift him up in the place where it counts. To lift him up in a moment when men are confusing the country in regard to the truth. To lift him up in such a singular way that everybody understands and everybody knows that it's only Jesus Christ who can be the light of the world. And it's only Jesus Christ that can be the hope of mankind. And so this blessed text I give you, and Jesus Christ turned and he said, "And ye shall know that I'm he." You'll never know that he's the Son of God until he's lifted up. You'll never know that he's the Son of God until the lines of distinction between him as the holy, righteous Son of God and all the superstitions that have been developed on the face of this earth. I came away from San Francisco more determined than ever to be a missionary pastor to you people, to see if we couldn't get more of our young people dedicated to going out and preaching the gospel. And I came back to my own pulpit this Sunday to find out that we've got 3 missionaries joining the church today. They're going off to Africa, and God's brought an African here, a great bishop over there with 360 churches, to join in the commission. And beloved, the lines of distinction are going to be clearer and plainer between those who exalt Jesus Christ and those who are willing to make Jesus a companion among the gods. The lines of distinction are going to be clearer in this country than they've ever been before, and it is the burden and the responsibility of those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been sanctified by the work of His Holy Spirit. It's our responsibility as never before to shoulder the burden of preaching the gospel and sending out missionaries while we still have time, that they may hear the name of Jesus Christ. I want more of the young people of this church to realize the frailty, to realize the tragedy that comes upon us, as befell one of our young people this past week. I want some of you young people to recognize that in this hour there's only one thing that God wants you and me to do. Lift up the Son of God. Lift up the Son of God. Look at the rest of that verse. "But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Jesus Christ says, "What I'm going to tell you now, I have received from my Father. And I've been instructed by him. And everything that the Father hath instructed me to say, that's what I'm saying." Then look at that next verse. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. First he says, the things I speak to you I receive from the Father. Second, the Father who sent me here is now with me, and he's not left me alone. I have the Father with me. And oh, to think of Jesus Christ in this world of sin and satanic powers and everything that was being done to attack him. And as you see this terrific attack upon him here, in which the religious leaders of his day turned and said, "Thou hast a devil." And he said, "I don't have a devil either. Ye are of your father the devil." And it came down to the point where they said he had a devil, and they said he cast out demons by Beelzebub. And he said, "No," he says, "I speak the truth. The difficulty is you don't know the truth, and you don't know God, and you don't know my Father. If you knew the Father, you'd listen to me. If you knew God, you'd listen to the one who speaks the words of God." And here Jesus Christ draws this line of distinction, this great chasm, this mighty valley that you find here between the Son of God as sent by the Father, the words which he spoke, the truth which he offered, and then all this world of darkness and evil and sin and unbelief which challenges and attacks and seeks to confuse the work of God. Oh, I've been preaching and I've been telling you people, and then I do tell you in these hours, we're in tremendous days of darkness. We're in days when the powers of darkness are moving in to confuse the people and to turn the people of God away from the Christ whom they must lift up and exalt. And notice the next words in that text. And he says, "The Father hath not left me, but I do always those things which please him." Everything that Jesus Christ did, he did to please the Father. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. And you have here an evidence of the power of the Word of God. Just the power of the Word of God. As he spake it, as he told them who he was, as he told him how he'd been sent, as he spoke of these things, the power of that Word alone went into their hearts, and they believed. Yesterday I brought the morning devotions. This is my week, of course, at the Christian Admiral, and I brought the morning devotions, and so I turned up a wonderful verse over here in the 15th chapter of John, and where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words," and the words are plural. And so the last few days I've been thinking on it, obedience, 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 and that's a proof of your love of Christ. So last Sunday night I took that text in Oakland and preached on it. It just opened up such a beautiful vista and vision of truth. So yesterday morning I said, "Well, I think I'll do that again." And I took that passage there and just opened it up, the words, and made the distinction between plural and between singular. As it's made there, the words of Christ and the word that I speak unto you, and how the word of Christ is indeed the word of God. And do you know the people there at the Christian Admiral, when I got through with that message, I just preached it out of my heart. I never saw such a reaction in my life. These people came up to me and says, "Dr. McIntyre, that was so clear, that was so powerful." Well, what was it? Just the Word of God. And you people must sit under a ministry. You must sit before a pulpit where the Word of God is taken and presented unto you. And then the Spirit of God takes that word, which in itself has the power of God, and uses that word to bring you to Christ and to give you faith and enable you to trust in the Son of God. The Word of God is living. It's alive. It's just full of power. And it has all that you and I need to keep us and to sustain us in our hours of trouble. You think about this whole question of obedience, and Someone was suggesting, I think it was Matthew, we're talking about the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. And I got to thinking about those three Hebrews, and I've decided to preach a sermon on them. I've got me quite a sermon. I'm not going to develop it for you today. But here are these three Hebrews out there on the plains of Dura. And here was Nebuchadnezzar, made his great image of gold and told them all to go over there and bow down to it. And at the sound of the sackbut and the trumpet and all the different musical instruments, everybody was to bow down and worship the image. And here were these three Hebrews over here. And you can imagine Shadrach, the first one, he said, "Now, brethren, we've been loyal to our God all these years. We've got a wonderful God. He's the God of Abraham, and we're true to him. But let's be realistic here and think this thing through a little bit. Because when we get through here, we're going to be dead. And when we're dead, we're not going to be able to witness. We won't have any more opportunities to serve the Lord. And so I think possibly we might have a little justification in just this once not bowing. Or just this once bowing. Just once. Don't hurt, just once. And he said, just think now, after it's over, it'll only last a minute. It won't be long. And when it's all over, why then we can infiltrate all through here and we can witness and give out tracts and we'll have wonderful ministry, but you've got to keep yourself from dying first. And we're in a pretty tight place, you must recognize it. So I recommend that the thing for us to do is to just go out there and bow down this one time. Meshach says, no, but Shadrach, you can't do that. And he says, well, now, Meshach, if you don't like this, he says, if you're a little bit shaky, he says, you get close to me, and he says, they'll only think two of them bowed down. And so the three had their arguments back and forth among themselves. Here was the command, bow down and worship the golden image, or else you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace, you see. Three of them. No, beloved, all three of them said, we can't disobey the word of our God, and we will stand if they put us in the furnace, all right. No matter what happens to us, we cannot disobey the commandments of Jesus Christ. And we're living in a world today where the Christians are counseling disobedience in order that we can do some good and carry on a nice ministry in the fellowship of the apostasy. We're living in a day when a disobedient pulpit is exhorting the people to be disobedient to Christ in order to have some kind of a witness. Disobedience is not a witness. It is sin. Obedience is love. Obedience is the witness. Obedience to the Son of God honors the Word of God. And Jesus says, if I be lifted up, if you just exalt my name, if you'll just take what I'm saying unto you and lift it up and magnify it, then ye shall know that I have been sent by the Father. Many of the people believed on him. Beloved, there's one thing and only one thing that God wants to see in you and me. You know what it is? Belief in him. All God wants of you is trust in him. You can't serve two masters. He wants the complete and full dedication of his people to his commandments and to his Son. Now we have a very interesting passage here a little later down. If you'll turn to verse 32. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you see that over the doors of educational institutions today, and it's taken by the secular world everywhere. But when they take that text and use it in that manner, they take it completely out of its context and completely out of its setting. Notice verse 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. But where do you get the truth? From his word. If ye continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples, and ye shall know the truth. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in these various references running through this passage to my word and the truth, he's equating the two.
They are the same. My word and the truth are identically the same. And that which is going to make you free is the knowledge of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the freedom of which he's speaking here is the freedom from sin. The freedom from the curse and the consequences of sin. I was so pleased this week to hear the testimony of John Stormer. He wrote the book, None Dare Call It Treason, and 6.5 million copies. A man can write a book that 6.5 million copies will be circulated. He really is in a tremendous position, and there's been no pamphlet of this type that's anywhere reached this magnitude in our history. And John Stormer gave his testimony on Friday night, and I heard it. Now, I hadn't met him. I'd talked with him on the phone a number of times, and I met him in Fort Worth, Texas last December. And I was so thrilled to find that he was basing his approach to all these questions, so far as our national life is concerned, upon his belief in God. But on Friday night, he told us how that he and his wife thought that they were Christians. They thought they were Christians all the time. They've always been Christians, and he's a nice Christian, and he went to this church. And then he told how he got to reading the scriptures, and some witnesses given to him, and he came to a realization that he'd never been born again. And he'd been one of these so-called Christians that had never been regenerated. And so when he came to the realization that this miracle of the new birth, and he read these scriptures, and he said, well, I've got to be saved. I've got to be born again. And so John Stormer was born again. And he said, he told everybody, he said, I've never had such a change in my life. And he said, I'm concerned about all these people who go to church, dress up, and think they're Christians, and the world is full of them. And he says, the churches are full of them. But he says, they've never been born again. And then he told me the story I met later, how his wife came to know the Lord. And the minute she found the Lord, why, she lost her cigarettes. She was quite a smoker. She was a good smoking Christian. And she lost her cigarettes. She lost everything else. How the two of them came to this marvelous experience of really finding out what it was to be a new creature in Christ, with old things passing away and all things becoming new. And the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in this passage, beloved, is the freedom from your sins. Being justified by faith. Being turned away from the evil life. Forsaking the things of the world and all that goes with the world. And being a real separated witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, ye shall know the truth. But the truth is in the Word. And the Word is in Christ. And Christ received it from the Father. And this is our life. Now it's very significant that in the discussion that ensued here with the Jewish leaders, they didn't understand what the Lord was talking about. They took somewhat offense at his reference to Abraham. And they said Abraham was their father. And Jesus says, no, he's not your father. You don't do the deeds of Abraham. If you did, you'd pay attention to me. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. And those blind, ignorant ecclesiastics of his day looked around and said, well, here, you're not 50 years of age. How come? You're only 30. Do you mean say you've had some contact with Abraham? You've seen Abraham? Now, that's exactly the kind of logic and the kind of reasoning that's used by people who just don't understand spiritual things. And Jesus Christ said, well, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, now we know you've got a devil. Instead of saying, well, here, there must be something about this person that we don't recognize. He must be the Son of God. He must have been sent by the Father. He must have seen the things that the Father showed him in heaven before he came. And he must be speaking the words of God. They said, no, no, you've just got a devil. And beloved, it comes down to that just as simply and directly as it can possibly be. You either serve Christ or you serve the devil. It comes down to that level. You take his claims. You follow his claims. You become his disciple, or else you're over here in the area that's very helpful to the cause of the Satan. And isn't it amazing that the Apostle Paul said to the Christians when he wrote them, he says, I tell you, even weeping, I'm even full of tears. He says, some of you Christians are the enemies of the Lord. And that's true. Ye shall know what the Lord has given unto us, and that shall make us free. I had a blessed time traveling with this brother from Africa. He and I flew across the United States and went to San Francisco, and then we went to church at night, and he gave his testimony, and then he flew with me back across to Miami, and he's with me. And one of the things that has thrilled me so about my association with this brother is that he's just as clear on these matters as I am. In fact, when he tells me how they fought their battle in Africa and they broke from the Anglican Church, the bishop attacked him and he had to answer the bishop, and then they went to the public press and he had to go to the public press, and then they spread these tales against their members and against their people, and the lies they told about him and the stories they told about his people and how he fought them and had to clear these things and kept the issue. And even coming up in the car this morning as we were talking about these things, he went on to describe his problems, and they are identically the same. Identically the same. The fact that they're in Africa, the fact that they are of another race and of another color, doesn't change the devil's work at all. Neither does it change the ministry of the Spirit of God as he honors and blesses the Word of God in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, when I come back to this pulpit of ours in this blessed church and I bring back this program, the Convocation of Religions, and here's the Buddhist message, and here's the Hindu message, and here's the Jewish message, and then here's the prayer of Gandhi, and here is the Mohammedan message, and here is the Roman Catholic message, and here's the prayer of Francis of Assisi, and finally, here's the great hymn, God of Our Fathers. My, what a song. They all stood and sang God of Our Fathers. Well, when the Catholics were singing God of Their Fathers, and when the Buddhists were singing God of Their Fathers, and the Hindus were singing God of Their Fathers, what kind of gods did they have to talk about? No, beloved, with you and me, there is only one Father. There is only one God. And Jesus Christ is the Son of that God. And he says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men to me. And when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, when he's been crucified, when his blood is displayed, when his resurrection power is manifest, then shall ye know that I am the Son of Man. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this marvelous text. Oh, how we praise thee that it's the lifting up of the Son of God in which we delight. Oh, make us Christians. And Father, give us the young people, give us the youth, give us the choicest of what thou hast placed before us as a church. And out of this church, our Father, may we have the young missionaries and the young teachers and the young preachers and the young doctors who will go with this message and spend all their years lifting up the Son of God. For Christ's sake, amen. Hymn number 659, God of Our Fathers.